8.07, FM Talk 106.5. It's Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here on this Friday. Talk about all the things going on this weekend for Father's Day. It's coming up on Sunday. Of course, I don't know if we get a Father's Day. You know, you get a Mother's Day weekend.
Yeah.
It's an extended celebration of moms, which it should be. Dads, we hope to get the majority of Sunday. We get the afternoon, the morning, or something like that, mm-hmm. right? But maybe you can use those points to get the kids to go with you, do something with dad. And one of the things that maybe, if you're a youngster, you haven't seen right here in your hometown, something that started here and has come back home, the World Championship Turkey Calling Contest coming to the Mobile Convention Center. And Kenny Weiss joins us to talk more about this. And Kenny, good morning, and talk about what's coming up today.
Today starting around, really at 3 o'clock, Mayor Stimson, he's going to come in and do some opening remarks, and then we are going to go right after he finishes. We're going right into the World Friction Turkey Calling Championship, and then that's the prelims, and then the next, right after that, will be the prelims for the World Championship Turkey Calling Contest.
Now, people understand, let's like try to compare it to sports they understand. This is not just the SEC championship. This is the national title. This is the Super Bowl when it comes to turkey calling.
This is the world title.
So it's even beyond, so we have nothing in sports. This is like the World Cup in soccer, except everybody actually pays attention to this one.
Correct. Most definitely. This contest started in Mobile back in 1940, January the 4th of 1940. And they actually brought a caged gobbler into the Battle House Motel. And,
I love it.
They had to do a minimum of 5 calls. Now, the calling has progressed a lot. Keep in mind, this was the first contest ever held. And it was titled the World Championship Turkey Calling Contest. And so some of Mobile's elite, you know, was down there, and a man named Fred Stimson actually won the first world championship, and that there is Mayor Sandy Stimson's grandfather.
Funny how all that comes. You got 1940s to 2019, and you've got the same family involved in this. That's a good thing.
That's right, man, and we're proud of that, and real proud to bring it back home.
Yeah, this was
from here for a while, but we're gonna try to keep it here this time.
That's what I want to get into. So this was, I remember as a I guess a child for sure, and maybe on into my teenage years, this was here in Mobile. Then it went away, and it's a big deal to get it back, and let's keep it here because this is brings a lot of people to our area. We talk about different tourism things, and people think tourism's always the beach or fishing or those kind of things, which are great. But this is another thing that brings people to the Mobile area from out of state. How many different states are represented by callers?
As of right now, it's either 15 or 16 different states that's represented. And there's multiple, people. I mean, people bringing their families here. They putting, of course they got to have a place to stay and a place to eat, so mm-hmm. it's boosting some of Mobile's economy off this contest also.
Those of us who remember the contest or have been to others know what to expect. But, Kenny, let's talk to somebody who's never been to one of these at all and is thinking about coming down today or tomorrow. Tell them kind of what to expect. How does it work?
Well, we'll have some judges, and we got an elite panel of judges, a panel of judges that's never been assembled. This is the greatest panel that's ever been assembled. But they'll be behind a curtain, actually underneath the curtain, and they are required to do, we'll have an MC that will be calling out calls, and so the judges don't know what caller's out there. All they know is caller number 1, caller number 2, caller number 3, but whenever caller number 1 gets up there, he's asked to do the calls. When he's finished, Caller number two comes up there. He's asked to do the same calls, and it progresses right on through all the callers. And then your high and low scores are thrown out, and kind of like the Olympics. And, you know, you add the remaining scores together, and whoever's got the highest score, you know, is he wins, you know. He or she, I got to point that out.
Mm-hmm.
He or she,
that's,
you know,
right,
wins. And but what we're doing at this contest, we are looking for the world's greatest. You know, other contests like the Grand Nationals, you know, you had this age Pacific and stuff. This here is open from 0 to 100 years of age. I mean, or past, if you 150 years of age, you can call.
Now, this is so today, if people, and I want to get back into some of the other calls here, but today, doors open when?
The doors are going to open at 12.
Okay.
But now the calling won't start till Mayor Stimson should be there around 3 o'clock.
Okay.
After he finishes, that's when it gets down to business. And we'll have the friction prelims first, and then we'll have the open prelims after the friction. And friction, you have to use a friction call, you know.
Explain that to folks, what a friction call is, that don't turkey hunt.
What it is you have to use something that you rub together. I mean, to cause friction, to produce the call that is being asked of you. Now, in the open, you can either use friction, air, wing bone, trumpet call. I mean, you could use a bicycle inner tube as long as you can make it sound like a turkey.
And that's one thing people are going to be, if they've never seen this, y'all are going to hear an amazing display of calling. I mean, there's a bit at this level, a musical art to what's happening. It's not just the day in and day out grind of making calls to try to kill a turkey. These people are, I don't know, to stay with the music, they're virtuosos of a turkey call.
Correct. It's unbelievable what can be produced. I mean, and we are listening for the perfect turkey. And what we're doing, we are not trying to call a turkey. We are trying to mimic that turkey. We are trying to paint the picture. We're trying to put feathers on that call when we're trying to produce it.
Well, yeah, there's people that are partially turkey. You're partially turkey. You have a son that's almost completely turkey. I don't know how much human genetics
sometimes,
he has.
Sometimes I wonder if he was hatched instead of born, you know?
You know, because you're half turkey, and I got to say, your son is way more than half turkey. All right, so that's Friday, and then Saturday, when do we wrap up with the event?
Well, we'll start out in the morning with little fellas, you know, 10 and under. And then we'll go to the juniors, which is 11 to 15. Then from the intermediate is 16 through 20. And then we have amateur division. It's not too late to sign up. If you think you're good enough, come on down. I mean, we got a division for everybody that we can possibly think of. Then it steps up to the owling division. We'll go into the gobbling division. And then in the afternoon, it's going to be, you know, the friction finals. Then team calling. Now, if you want to see some excitement, you come to the team caller. That there is where two men get there and are asked to do a scenario. They're actually going to be doing two different scenarios. And they actually paint the picture of whatever that scenario is that's asked of them. And they working together. You know, they got to be in. I mean, it's truly a fun. That's actually the more entertainment right there. But then we get to the final contest, and that's the world championship. And
that should happen about what time?
I mean, with the amount of callers that we got, and the prelims are going to cut these callers back to 12, so we'll have 12, you know, in the finals. So I'm guessing probably around 4 is when it would start, 4 to 5 o'clock probably when it starts. It just depends on how fast other divisions go, because we might have a call off, you know, for first place or second place or whatever in those other divisions. And these callers are going for money. I mean, when they are on stage, they are it's serious. It's serious business when they on stage.
And they're going for money here, but also, I mean, this is like any, you think like a golfer or something. We were just talking in sports earlier, you know, about what's happening in Pebble Beach. If they win here, the contracts and sponsorships come rolling in.
That's right. Correct. And I mean, this is a big deal. There's a lot of these callers, they actually coming in. They don't care about this trophy. They don't care about the money. On this contest, all the callers are looking to be world champion, because once you get that title, it opens up a big future for you.
A big
Eddie
deal.
Eddie Salter, Preston Pittman, Steve Stokes, Don Shipp. They made careers out of it after they won the world championship.
Well said. Well said. All right. Today, tomorrow, at the convention center, and it is free for us to come check this out.
Correct. Free to the public, and folks, we need to get behind it. Just if y'all would come down there, and I mean, let's show them some old Southern Mobile hospitality. These callers, they like to perform in front of people. So let's get out there and support it.
Great stuff. Kenny, as always, man, I appreciate your time, and we'll see you down there this weekend.
Yeah, man. Come on down.
All right.
See you now.
All right. See you then. Kenny Weiss with the World Championship Turkey Calling Contest. Something that started right here in Mobile and has come home after all these years, and started by the mayor's grandfather, and he's going to be starting the invocation today.
What an amazing story. That's
pretty cool
awesome.
Stuff. That's, you know, they had that hashtag online, SoMobile. That's SoMobile. Thanks, Kane. 823 FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Mornings on this Friday. Phone number, text line, 343-0106, 343-0106. Really cool event, having, after, I could say, over a decade, having more than a decade, the World Championship Turkey Calling Contest coming back to where it started here in Mobile. Hopefully, if you got some chance to slip out this afternoon or tomorrow, go out and support this free event for us to come out and check it out. And they're going to be watching, you know, if there's good turnout and good support from local folks, let alone the people that come into our area traveling with these callers. It'll be back next year, so come out and support that. Going on tomorrow, 17th Annual Mystic Striper Society Fish and Rodeo. This is having categories of offshore and inshore, snapper jackpot, speckled trout jackpot, all that kind of good stuff in the mix. And let's do this. You want to give away a pair of tickets?
I think we should. We should give away more tickets.
All right, so let's do this. So you can go, you can take Dad, you can take a friend, and you go fishing tomorrow. Headquartered out of Dolphin Island, start fishing at 6 a.m., fish till 5 p.m. And the party that goes along with this is fantastic. Let me just point that out. A fantastic party with the Mystic Stripers Fish and Rodeo. Looking for caller number 6 right now at 343-0106. 343-0106. Tickets are $25, so a $50 value here for you to go fishing in the tournament. And more information online at mysticstripersociety.com. And get your tickets there. You can find out where you can pick up your tickets in person. Any kind of questions you have on the rules and all the regs and all that stuff online, mysticstripersociety.com. You'll see that. And caller number 6, we got your tickets, so good luck there. And then it's Sarah Sanders on her way out.
It's truly been something I will treasure forever. It's one of the greatest jobs I could ever have. I've loved every minute, even the hard minutes.
Which minutes weren't the hard minutes? At least, so many times, I think Sarah Sanders did a very good job, but I'd watch her and I'd say, Who wants that job? It's what I say about the presidency and anything. Who wants that job?
Yeah, it's I can't imagine. I mean, you can't go into a
job?
After doing that job, can you imagine going into a full room anywhere and being nervous? I mean, I would be so nervous in front of a press that just wants to absolutely rip you limb from limb.
Yes.
And of course, we can go back through the highlights of Sarah Sanders and some lowlights of her career as press secretary. Remember when she banned Jim Acosta
from
the press room, and then he went to a judge and somehow got his pass back to be in there. But she, better than anyone, way better than Sean Spicer, I think, fulfilled that role the way that President Trump wants her to fulfill the role.
And that's the job of the press secretary. That's one of the things that would keep me from doing that. Although I guess if you are completely in lockstep with the president, then it's an okay job. For me, it'd be troublesome because I can defend my own beliefs. And maybe her beliefs lined up in the same way, but I could defend my own beliefs. I would have a tough time taking the beating at these events that you did when it's not even what you're doing is your job, and that is to be the voice of the president, right?
Yeah, and I was reading that the president really liked her style because through all the name calling and stuff like that, when she defended the president, for the most part, she didn't go personal with her attacks towards the press. And I was reading that that's what Trump liked so much about her, is she was able to defend the president.
She was not like the president.
And also hit back, but she also, if you attack me, she's been attacked. I mean, I'm going for the knees. When it gets personal, I get personal too. Mm-hmm. She did a great job of trying to kind of keep no pun intended, but a bit of a wall between her and the press that were asking her questions. But I didn't think she would ever quit. I mean, we see so much turnover between press secretaries, whoever the president is.
That's common. Yeah, hopefully nobody's trying to make a case of that, because you can go through whatever party. You turn over press secretary because I think it's a job that wears on you.
She held the job for a long time, though, as far as
but not 3.5 years. The president said 3.5 years. It was not been 3.5 years.
Not 3.5 years.
It's like 2 or whatever, 2.5 maybe.
A lot of people were trying to say yesterday that she quit that was the reason, and because there's so much going on now with the Kellyanne Conway.
Violated the Hatch Act.
Yeah, that, and then with Iran and with the president talking about taking information from foreign adversaries. So they said she quit, but I'm not sure that's exactly how that worked.
I know this, though. She hasn't been doing, what the last 3 months or so, has not been doing these briefings.
Right.
So she's kind of been... So I don't know if that was something that had changed and was already in the works there, and she hadn't been doing them. And this was like a three-month, giving notice or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know that, but she has not been active doing this. But she is out. We'll see who President Trump decides will be the new press secretary. Although I will argue that the job of press secretary, while rough and tumble for Sarah Sanders, it's not like she was the only information. President Trump does his own pressers, if you put the sound of a helicopter, like Marine One, in the background, if I hear that, then I think I'm about to start hearing the voice of President Trump, because he does, anytime he's walking around, he does, a whole press conference.
Yeah, we hear from him more than more than we heard from any other president. I mean, he's constantly talking to the press. I think just yesterday, or maybe the day before, he talked for an hour with the media, and you don't get that very often with presidents. You normally have to wait weeks at a time to actually hear them speak, and that's why the press briefings have been such a big deal for so long. But with Sarah Sanders kind of cutting out the press briefings, we've seen a lot more of the president.
All right. So there you go. She is on the way out. You got some additional.
They've been wanting her to run for the governor of Arkansas. That's what the president's been pushing. And they say that's her dream job, following in the footsteps of her father there as the governor of Arkansas. I'd be interested to see how that would work out, whether the people of Arkansas feel that strongly about her as they did her father.
I don't know the politics there. Arkansas is not as conservative as Alabama. But still conservative state. I don't know. We'll see. Footsteps of her father. You notice something that I don't do that everybody else does. I say her name is Sarah Sanders.
Mm-hmm. She's her own person.
That's right. I mean, from the time I've seen, I thought it was diminishing. Everybody knows it's her father. Then leave the name out. Because she's not successful there because she's Mike Huckabee's daughter. She kicks her own butt.
Blazing her own trail,
I would say. All right. It is Flag Day, everybody. So do you know your flag code before you get out this weekend and wear an American flag bikini? You better. And if you're heading fishing, you're going to fish against
Ron in Mobile. Congratulations. Hey, thank you, Kane. 836 on FM Talk 106.5. It's Mobile Mornings Friday style. Right now we head to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
All right. Happy Friday morning, Dalton.
Hey, happy Friday to you, too. And it's Father's Day weekend. What better way to celebrate Dad than to bring him out to the lot in McConnell Automotive and get him one of those new rides? Tell us what's on the lot that would make any of the dads around here smile.
Well, there's a whole lot of things, and I think there's a lot of dads that deserve a lot of credit. So I want to say happy Father's Day to all those people that are wonderful dads. And speaking of dads, Dalton, my dad passed 7-8 years ago, but you know, he always told me that if you really respect people and listen to their needs, give them the best bang for their buck, that'll never go out of style. And mm-hmm. I think if anybody listens had a bad experience at another car dealership, I sure hope they give us a shot, because, you know, McConnell, what we try to do, Dalton, is just be a little unconventional. Just treat people with the kind of respect and shoot them straight and be transparent. Our prices online, everything that we do is just built about relationships. So I want to wish everybody a happy Father's Day. And I'm telling you what, somebody needs to come get an AT4 truck and pull their boat with it. So that might be a good Father's Day prize for somebody. If there's a wife listening, why don't you give your husband a little get-out-of-jail-free card, let him go test drive a GMC Sierra at McConnell this weekend.
Man, I think that would be about the best Father's Day gift ever. We appreciate it, Mitch. Have a good one.
Man, y'all have a blessed weekend, Dalton.
All right, that's Mitch McConnell. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
Right, 837 FM Talk 106.5. What do you think? Listening to the reports this morning and the clips from Fox and Friends, their morning show, sure sounds like President Trump walking back. He's so determined in the ABC interview with Stephanopoulos that he, you know, would take the information from another from Norway. He presented to use, and then this morning saying, Well, maybe I wouldn't. I'd look at it, and then I'd turn it over to the FBI. That's about a complete about-face. I wonder who got through to the president on that one.
Yeah, I didn't expect that. As we all know, Norwegians have the dirt on everybody. I mean, that's just
Norwegians. It's always the Norwegians. The high-tech Lillehammer sector there.
They've hacked all of our computers.
Yes.
But, yeah, I didn't expect him to walk it back just because he never walks back anything. But that's certainly what that sounded like to me, kind of walking back his comments with Stephanopoulos. But we talked about it yesterday. I kind of feel like Stephanopoulos almost led him into a trap by throwing FBI out there. And we know that the president likes to speak off the top of the head so often. He's just kind of freestyling out there in media interviews. And he was, I think, trying to stick it to the FBI again, like we've seen him so many times. Whether he would actually turn in some information if it was a national security risk or not, I would hope that he would. But, I mean, we discussed this yesterday in the midday show. You discussed it with Congressman Bradley Byrne about all the oppo research that goes on and has gone on since the beginning of America, since politicians started running against each other, and Clinton did it. Both the Clintons did it. We've seen it in the past. So I'm not sure if this controversy will die down soon, but he's walking it back this morning.
Yeah, here's a clip from earlier this morning on Fox and Friends.
First of all, I don't think anybody would present me with anything, Ben, because they know how much I love this country. Nobody's going to present me with anything, Ben. Number two, if I was, and of course you have to look at it, because if you don't look at it, you're not going to know if it's bad. How are you going to know if it's bad? But of course you give it to the FBI or report it to the Attorney General or somebody like that. But of course you do that.
Sorry, that's if you want to know what backtracking sounds like, that's what it sounds like right there. It goes back to this, though. I mean, we have to look at the law, and obviously the president was consulted by somebody who said, hey, Mr. President, law says you can't do that. Mm-hmm. So let's look at this. So now I'm on the opposite side of the president since he's backtracked. I would say that, number one, this is done with regularity. I'm not saying every candidate does it, but I don't know that they care if the piece of information is good enough. They may take it. Say the Norwegians, as we play this goofy game, the Norwegians bring you a piece of information about your opponent, right? And I said yesterday that if you believe you want to be president or another high office, you believe that your vision is what is the best thing for this country.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It frightens me. That's why I'm an adherent of the Constitution and not a cult of personality about any individual person. I think some people are better for the job than others, but this kind of where you're all about the person and not about the things that they believe in, that's often worrisome because sometimes they change. But in the case you get that information from that foreign entity. Okay, so you take it then and you information launder that to have it come through a stateside Oppo research, and then you've got the information. You know, it's if somebody, okay, if the Norwegians give you this piece of juicy dirt on your opponent, right, then you would, if I'm just saying, if I was a campaign manager and I wanted to make sure I stayed within the law, mm-hmm. I would then take that information and have somebody stateside research that information, and then, because now they know where to look.
Right.
Like the Norwegians told you where to look. Now you look and you find the story. Then you've done your own research, mm-hmm. and it's American Oppo research. I mean, that's what could, once again, this is just kind of going through a kabuki theater on this stuff. Believe me, I love the idea that we would be beyond reproach in this country. I like the idea that we are the beacon in this country to all other nations. But the reality of politics, when people say politics is a blood sport, they're not just saying it to say it. It is. And I mean, I've talked to people in the political world. I've sat there slack-jawed and said, you're that much into the, you know what I'm saying? They almost are just full of, like, nothing matters but winning. And I would say, yeah, but there are some constraints here and some things that they're like, yeah, I got to win and then I can worry about those things. That's the reality of politics. So I think the first reaction from President Trump is probably the honest one. And that's the honest one for Republicans or Democrats or independents, libertarians, anybody out there trying to win a race. What you're hearing today is the kabuki theater taking over and the backtracking from President Trump.
Yeah, I'm split on this whole controversy because, first off, I would like to know if a candidate, you know, did something awful previously,
yes.
Regardless of how we get that information.
That's right.
If we found out that one of these candidates, you know, beat a bunch of puppies when they were a child or
right.
something like that, I would have a problem with
yeah,
that.
So
I would like to know about
what if
that.
The Norwegians bring you that information?
Yeah. Well, that's also the part I'm split on because we're America, right?
Mm-hmm.
Americans running against Americans for
mm-hmm.
president. Something just seems so dirty, so icky about going to somebody else who's not an American and using them. They don't have American laws. They can break the law from
mm-hmm.
their country
mm-hmm.
to spy on us and find mm-hmm. out information about us. Something about that just seems so wrong to me.
Fair enough.
It's like going against your family member, your brother, your sister. You're reaching out to somebody else to get dirt on your brother or sister.
I would rather us adhere to the model you're talking about. What I'm discussing is reality. I mean, remember, I'm the guy on today that has three different times talked about being Flag Day and my obsession with flag code.
Mm-hmm.
I'm that much of a constitutional nerd.
Right.
I'm just saying this is what happens. And what the first reaction you heard from President Trump was just the curtain pulled back and this is what happens. Now he's obviously been advised.
Mm-hmm.
And he's backtracking and talking about, the kabuki theater side, what everybody would want to happen. And I want that same thing. I want that same being beyond reproach. But there is reality. And you're telling me that a Democrat gets that information, they're not going to run with it? Come on.
Yeah, that's just ignorance. What do you think the reasoning behind the backtrack this morning is? Do you think Trump,
they were advised on the law here.
You think that's what it is? You don't think he's just trying to keep his opponents kind of off balance by saying one thing one day and then backtracking it the next day? Or is he trying to put something in the news to kind of get past the Sarah Sanders stuff and the Kellyanne Conway Hatch Act thing that came up yesterday?
And he said he's not going to fire her for the Hatch Act violation. You know, yes and no, okay, on different things you said. I mean, the idea that, you know, that everything that he does, there are some supporters of President Trump that think everything he does is three-dimensional. Heck, they think it's four-dimensional chess,
mm-hmm.
right? That everything is this major planned out thing. And then there's some people think that everything he does is just like a Gerald Ford slapstick guffaw doofus act,
right.
Okay? Reality is in between. And does President Trump work the marionette strings of the media? Of course. I mean, he showed it when he was running for office. He showed it as the president. He can do it better than anybody we've seen. Absolutely can do that. And is he thinking in negotiations a step ahead and asking for more and taking less? Sure he is. He's using regular business practices, doing it on a world stage. He's been successful with it. At the same time, whether it is misspelling the Prince of Wales,
right.
Whales, or he comes up and says, you know, I would take that information before he kind of gets that opinion from attorneys there whether he should do it or not. Sometimes he steps in it like any other human being. So I know the reality is not social media. On social media, it's all one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
I think reality probably lies somewhere in between. But you can disagree. Got the phones open for you. 343-0106. Did I sing that in grade school and middle school and all that?
I thought you were on the original recording.
Thanks. Appreciate that, man. 850 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings on this Flag Day Friday. And take some calls about that, too. We continue talking about a variety of subjects. But this is good. So our buddy, Mark Holliday, walked up to the front of the office, to the studios here at FM Talk 106.5. And, of course, you hear him on Thursday nights as well on Common Sense Campaign Town Hall. And he started talking some flag stuff here.
Yep.
And so the flag nerddom, flag code nerddom was raised. And so he asked, pun intended, raised. So he asked a question here that a couple of them that I don't have an answer to. Okay? So I know of quite a few things, but I don't know everything on flag code. He said, first of all, can a flag be flown in the rain?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yes, but that's not entirely true.
Right.
It has to be what?
Well, it has to be an all-weather flag if you're going to fly it in the rain. So if you've got one of those that, you know, doesn't deter the water, or
right,
whatever the word I'm looking for there is, if it doesn't keep the
water and if it's
off,
not like sailcloth or something like that that deters
right,
water.
So if you do have an all-weather flag, you can fly that in the rain.
Which my flag's, yeah, it's all-weather. I have all-weather flag. Most of them that I'm thinking about that I've touched recently have all been all-weather.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's why I didn't ever think about it, because they're the all-weather material on the flag. I said this in the 6 o'clock hour, too, as a side note. Isn't it amazing? And maybe I'm speaking for me. Maybe it's not for you. But you think about looking at the American flag, and it seems as 2019 as it did when it was first hoisted over our young republic.
Mm-hmm.
And as think about the styles have changed. Think about clothing and housing and art and the way we talk and all these things in this country that have changed, fashion, right, and trends. And you see something and go, that really looks old.
Mm-hmm.
Even things that look old that come back new again and cycle around, then they go back to being old again, and they come back, here's the new look. It's never, the American flag, there's, and of course I'm a uber fan, fanboy of the American flag, it never looks out of fashion. It looks like it was, if they created it today, it would be the same thing. Mm-hmm. Obviously we've added a few more stars over the years, but it looks perfect.
Timeless.
Yeah, it is timeless. It's one of the few things, I think, out there that's timeless. It's not like, oh, man, that looks like it's so old.
Mm-hmm.
You see somebody's house, and you're like, the architecture, you go, that was built in the 70s or something like that. You don't say that with the flag.
Yeah, even though we don't update the look of the flag until we add more states.
Right, like Puerto Rico.
And who knows, maybe we'll have more than 50 before long, more than 50 stars on the flag. But
what
it feels
President
like...
Former President Obama said 57 states or something. I remember hearing that going, really, man?
But even president? Though the look of the flag hasn't changed since we added Alaska and Hawaii, I feel like it's constantly being updated because American history is ongoing. And there's just more and more going on every single day that flag represents and stands for. If that makes any sense.
It does. Okay, the backstory does, but just the aesthetic look of it, you use the term timeless. I think that's the best one. It's fine. I don't know. Maybe that doesn't strike anybody else, but you look at something that was, let's look at what the founders were wearing in 1776.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's look at what Betsy Ross was wearing when she sewed the American flag, which, by the way, proud moment for me. Maybe that's why I'm flag code-wise. I am a descendant of Betsy Ross.
That's what it is. It's in your blood.
I am a descendant of Betsy Ross. And when it was, by the way, when I did that ancestry thing a couple years ago, then it linked, you know, it wants to link you through to groups that have your same genetics. So there's a whole, they're like, oh, here's another of our Betsy Ross family people on there. So so maybe there's the reason deep in my, that's probably explains my obsession with the flag. But The other flag code question that Mark Holliday had asked, I thought was interesting because I had no idea, and hopefully we have enough folks that served in the Navy listening and sailors out there. Can you answer this one for me? Because he said, you know, he's talking about taking down the flag and, and raising the flag. He talked about how it's done on Army bases, and we know how the Marine, you know, in the morning you raise the flag, bring it down at night. On a Navy base, absolutely. He said, I think 8 a.m. is when they raise the flag. But on ships, y'all, on ships, aren't the flags up the whole time on a ship when you're under sail? Please, sailors, I got to know this because, I mean, you use your flags as identifying ships at sea. Is in the Navy, do you bring the flag down? I guess somebody down at Battleship Memorial Park could listen and tell us right now, too. I've never thought about it and never paid attention. Now, the flag can be flown at all times as long as it's illuminated.
Right.
At night, you can fly it at night if it's illuminated. But you don't want to illuminate the flag, you know, so much if you're at sea and you're a battleship, but don't you keep the flag up all the time on that battleship? Please, 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 sailors, I got to know.
That's a really good question. I've been checking out, there's this site, legion.org/flag/code. If you just Google flag code, you'll find this if you want to brush up on your flag code knowledge. This was something I didn't know. The flag should not be displayed on a float in a parade except from a staff.
Yes.
So if you've
can't hang it. Like, that's why we have bunting. You hang bunting, you do not hang the flag.
You don't drape it over the side. And the same for vehicles. It says the flag should not be draped over the hood, top, sides, or the back
you
of a vehicle.
You don't lay the flag down.
No, you fly it. You want it to You want it to be flying there in the air. So that's I didn't know about the parade thing. I didn't know it had to be up on a staff in the parade.
That's why bunting is so useful. You know, the bunting stuff. I don't know how you describe the little half circle bunting that has red, white, and blue in it. That's great, and that's a way to show patriotism and show our colors without violating flag code.
And we had a question earlier on the text line. If you're flying two flags, one of them an American flag out in front of your house, maybe the other one's an Alabama Crimson Tide flag. I don't know. That's just what I've seen around the neighborhood.
Roll Tide.
There is an answer for that. It says the flag of the United States of America.
When always on the right.
Yep, that's
flag's
right. When it's displayed with another flag against a wall from crossed staffs, should be on the right. The flag's own right. And its staff should be in front of the staff of the other flags. Not only to the right, but it needs to be standing or sitting in front of the other flag.
What happens if there's more than two flags?
Keep it in the middle?
Yeah, and always at the highest point.
At the highest point. And no Enterprise Rent-A-Center flags, right, in the color guard.
Did y'all hear that story? That was a whole other one. I got to run and grab a quick call here because we're about to run out of time. Alan is in Mobile. Hey, Alan.
All right, good morning, Sean. How are you this morning?
I'm good. You got an answer for me?
No, they're not, but I would like to say something else. I have a comment on something else for your view of this.
Okay.
A few years back, going to a Starbucks coffee, National Guard personnel came in, and the first thing I noticed on their patch, on their right shoulder, is a flag that's, in my opinion, is flying in the wrong direction. And I asked the guy about it, and he says, well, it represents us charging in.
Yeah.
And
I think going from
it shows that a flag should always be displayed with the stars on the left.
Yep.
To right.
Yep. So and if you want to put it on your shoulder, you put it on your left shoulder to do that.
Yes. And I noticed it on the out the shoulder flowing in the wrong direction. And I just totally disagree with this. I think that the flag should be shown in the right direction no matter where you're looking at it. So, well, what's your opinion of this?
Well, I mean that's code. So, I've now run out of time, Alan. But hopefully, we'll get that answered on the text line and have that discussion at 343-0106, and we'll talk about it at noon today. And Tommy Tuberville joins us today.